to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 128 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, I hope everyone had a fantastic Memorial weekend. After a couple laid-back weekends over here, this past weekend through, really the 4th of July, we're going to be very, very busy. Really cool this past weekend down in Ohio with Yunker Motorsports as the famous Chloe Yunker graduated from high school. Congratulations, Chloe. Had so much fun hanging out with those guys. Got down there Sunday afternoon, hung out with them for the celebration. Got home Monday, did a little barbecuing, Friday, started working on the show. And like I said, it's going to be packed here with the show. And a bunch of, you know, work gets in the way, of course. So things are going to be packed from now to the 4th of July. Lots coming up with the Lap Traffic Podcast. Let me tell you, there's going to be three to four shows over a seven-day period. So you're about to get your fill of the Lap Traffic Podcast. There is like a 99% chance that there's going to be a bonus show posted this week on Thursday. Bonus show next Thursday, which is the MIS bonus show. There's just a lot going on, and this bonus show that could be on Thursday, it could be very cool. I'm very excited. It got thrown together here this afternoon, and on Friday a couple of things got confirmed, and I'm really excited about that. So be on the lookout for a bonus show Thursday. Tonight's gonna be awesome as well. But before I get to tonight, don't forget that the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Network. Go check out bigheadsmedia.com. A bunch of sports podcasts and entertainment shows covering crime, TV, all that good stuff. So go check out Big Heads Media for if you need more podcasts to listen to, which everybody needs more podcasts, right? So go check that out. It's been awesome being a part of that network, helping those guys grow and getting some extra eyes and ears, more importantly, on Lap Traffic Podcast. Big show lined up, as always, right? The very Twitter famous NASCAR Chasm will be making his return to the show tonight. Can't wait for that. I got your recaps from Charlotte with the Xfinity and Cup Series, social media shout-outs. Brian Newdorf will have your weather for Pocono. Got your lucky dog lap down picks. I think the Wave Around Hotline is full. We might have a record-breaking number of voicemails on the Wave Around Hotline. And we're going to close it out. We're crowning a Segment 1 winner in the Lap Traffic Podcast Fantasy League, along with some special guests on during that segment as well. You know who it is. The MOATF Podcast is going to be joining later on in the show. So it's going to be packed today, tonight, whenever you're listening to it. So let's get the show on the road. Let's get Mr. NASCAR Chasm on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fifth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at NASCAR Chasm. You can find his creative, humorous photo galleries like how drivers apologize for wrecking each other, fake winner texts, and the very popular Peeps 400 on NASCAR.com. Welcome back to the show, Mr. NASCAR Chasm. What's up, man?
Not much. Thank you. This is my fifth time.
Fifth time. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Fifth time. Holy cow, man.
You still got a little catching up to do if you want to get to the orange cone, though. He's 9 guest appearances so far, and I assume he'll be on at MIS. So we might have to get you closer to his number.
I get it. I'm less popular. I understand. Yeah. It's okay. No, I've at this point, I've accepted that. So it's my lot in life. You know, I'm the, if your phone is busy, give me a ring. Right. You know, that's my role.
Nonsense. You are a part of the Lap Traffic Podcast, sir. You are.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Alrighty.
So how was Memorial Day? All that good stuff, man.
Memorial Day was fine. As you know, live here in Indianapolis, and there's a big race that happens here.
What's going on this weekend here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So went over there. It was fun as usual. I have to, because, you know, I want to be back at work, I have to be back to my house for the start of the 600. I always have to leave the 500 at about 60 to go. So that's just me being a good employee and everything. And so I kind of missed all the craziness that happened at the end. But overall, it's still, it's just a lot of fun to be there. So, you know,
I guess so. You know, with track attendance being down at the tracks and stuff like that, you know, you used to always see people leave early, which, you know, nowadays I don't think it's as crucial. You know, you obviously had a reason to, but for example, what would if there wasn't some big race going on, your travel time be versus to how long it actually took you with there being a race going on?
Oh, okay. Let's see. So if you're just like going to pick up credentials at IMS or whatever, or go to a museum, probably door to door, we're talking 10 to 15 minutes for me.
Okay.
After the race, last time I stayed for the whole thing there, and it's this, kind of the same for both races. It can, depending on how they route traffic out of there, it could be 2 hours plus.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of people they cram in there. They do a great job of it, and so that's like, it's at that point where you consider, if it's 10 to 15 minutes on a normal day as the crow flies, I'm just gonna run a zip line from my house to the track, and just kind of sort of have my own little way, because it's actually, it might be faster to walk at that point.
Right.
2.5 hours from there, I could probably walk faster, to be honest. So
that's crazy.
All
right. So let's talk about that race. I thought it was an awesome 500. To me, it looked like a little slow start, a little difficult to pass early on. But once the drama started, got an early caution, then fuel and pit strategy became a part of the race. And it looked like it was going to be Rossi's race, but they had that issue getting the car full of fuel, which led to Simon back into the picture and picked up the win.
Yeah, there was a lot of people doing a little bit of that shenaniganery with the fuel there. And I was afraid, because I'm a big Pagano fan. I'm a big fan of all things Penske. I think him and Keselowski make a great team when they're teaming up on those Penske games. And so I was going to be a little despondent if old little Simon. If our little John Girard there wasn't able to pull it out. But thankfully he did, and there's those closing laps right there. That was a big, big deal. And he's got that, you've seen the Simon face, the one when he's really, really happy. Looks like he's like a vampire about to sink his fangs into somebody's neck to feed. It's like that's the face they should put on the Borg Warner. I think, you got all these nice stately pictures of Ray Heron and Rick Mears and Al Unser and everybody. I want frightening Simon cast in whatever metal that is on the side of the board. So that was pretty excellent.
That'd be hysterical.
I
thought it was a great race. Like we said, how many have you been to?
Honestly, all that many. Might have started going in 2010, 2011 or so. Okay. And we try to go every year. I think there was one that we couldn't go to for some personal reason or whatever. But it's right down the road. It's a lot of fun. It's an indie staple.
That's awesome.
So I know that Jimmy Johnson was actually planning on coming out here in the morning, as actually some people do from Charlotte there, to hang out with his buddy and watch the beginning of the race. His buddy Fernando Alonso. Well, that did not quite work out, unfortunately. So I don't think Jimmy made the trip, unfortunately.
Yes.
So
See, those guys can fly as the crow flies.
You got to get
hooked up with that mode of transportation there.
Yeah, exactly. That's the I remember the year that Kurt Busch did the double.
Yep.
We were doing the math. Kurt Busch was able to fly from Indianapolis to Charlotte faster than I was able to get to my house 15 miles away.
That's crazy.
That's, if you want to put it all into perspective.
Yeah, when they want to make something happen, they can make it happen, that's for sure.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They didn't think about me, but they went ahead and did their thing.
So what's new in the world in NASCAR, Kasim? Any fun projects or anything like that you're working on?
Nothing.
No.
We're always working on stuff, contributing for the .com and whatnot. It's it's just a steady process, a steady creative process of coming up with things that can disappoint the readership. you know how it goes.
Something tells me you get quite a few clicks there, sir.
Oh, every now and then we luck out. But I was pleased to report kind of a record reaction to this year's P400, man. It was a barn burner. It really was. I was really, really happy with the way it turned out. A really exciting event.
Well, so there were a couple new features to the Peeps 400. You had a news reporter this year.
Yeah. Pete Michael Waltrip. Yeah, that's right. He, what a nice guy. Yeah.
And this was the first time that the actual championship winner won the Peeps 400, right?
Yeah. Now, I believe Logano has won before, so I think he's actually the only re-peep winner. Get it, dude? I wrote that
throwing a rim shot sound on that.
I wrote that 4 days ago, and I was kind of like waiting to use it. I was waiting to like kind of sort of slide that little joke into the conversation with basically just like a sword through a Lannister, just like some stick it in there. Yeah, dude, that was really good. That was grade A work right there. I think I'll just gotta. I should probably just hang up now. It's all downhill from here.
Mic drop. I'm out. See ya.
Yep. Totally. Yep. All for me. You know. I promise you. We'll get no better.
Just fast forward, everyone.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Just go to the end. Go to the end. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yep. All right. So let's serious question here a little bit. Talk some substance maybe. NASCAR to reacquire the ISC tracks. I think this is huge for the sport. Excited about the future. You know, obviously there are some problems within the sport. They didn't occur overnight. We aren't going to fix them overnight. But things are looking to trend in the right direction. What might be some potential things that you're excited about in the future?
Boy, with the ISC merger, let me explain something to you first and foremost here. When it comes to business acquisitions, so on and so forth, stock being sold, et cetera, I would like to remind you that I'm the guy who melts peeps in a microwave. Okay? I don't know anything. But I would say the thing I'm actually most excited about is that new schedule. I enjoy that they were very much all about everything is on the table, and boy, they certainly were. You know, it's exciting that ISM Raceway, after pumping all that money into the renovations, which by all accounts are absolutely wonderful, you know, that they get to host the finale there. So, which, you know, imagine a late caution and a restart and four championship drivers basically slamming it down on the flat there right by the start finish of the dog leg. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Absolutely. It's crazy how it seems to always line up that all four drivers run at the front in that home, or the, you know, the championship finale there.
Yeah, so, you know, there's never really been a situation where one just dies. Yeah, out. Yeah. Well, with the exception of when you know, Joey Logano and Carl Edwards are going side by side.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, that, and like I said, Joe, remember Joey Logano and Carl Edwards getting together, and Carl Edwards deciding at that very moment, "Yep, yeah, I'm done. That's good." Yeah, that's cool. Let's just walk off into the Everglades, never to be seen again.
Left to the motorhome.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, the schedule, like, excited for the. Have you seen, like, especially at Pocono with the back-to-back, the doubleheader races? You know, they're not, from what I understand, they're not raising ticket prices. What an incredible amount of racing you get if you go to Pocono for those 2 days.
So
it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that. So, like, I would never have imagined that Pocono would be on like the top 10, 15 tracks that I need to get to ahead of like, let's say, Martinsville. I'm going to Pocono next year with a bunch of people. The PETM podcast, you know, there's a bunch of people going. It's like, this is too unique of an experience, something we haven't seen NASCAR do. So, boom, I'm going to Pocono next year. Like, this is very exciting and could be a huge payoff for the sport.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I should probably go with a large group of people too. The first thing I need to do is get a large group of people.
Well, hey,
and I need friends to do that.
You are more than welcome to come crash the party, man, for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Do you have like a futon or an air mattress or something extra?
I think we can definitely work something up if you're serious about it.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm a I'm bought and sold pretty cheap, man. I don't need the Taj Mahal. Hey, but, maybe we can work that out.
Absolutely. For sure. One thing that, you know, I think NASCAR is obviously trying to test with this Pocono double, you know, is a potential condensed schedule. And I say that in terms of the number of months that the schedule goes, not necessarily the number of races. You know, I think there are certain tracks that should get two dates. Pocono, I think it's the perfect track to test this out. You know, they were running basically 8 weeks apart. You know, all that. Michigan is probably, if this works out, could maybe see the same thing. Some of the mile and a half tracks. Do you think that's possible that we could get maybe a same 36 race, but maybe run mid-March to October or something like that?
Boy, oh boy, I don't really know, to be honest. Again, I need to, I'm sorry to keep going back to this little fact. When there's like large business decisions to be made or scuttlebutt about the importance decisions about the future of the sport, they don't call Mr. Pete Melter, dude. They just don't. They leave me off the I'm off of that email list, which is a little disheartening. But I don't really know. You know, at this point, I'm used to the length of the schedule, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the I know when the breaks are, but. You know, if they were out to condense it, they'd be fine with that too. And that's the, like I said, that is the wishy-washy answer I'm willing to give you on that. Yes.
All right. So halfway through the regular season, Joe Gibbs 8 wins, Penske 4. If Chasm had a crystal ball and were to break it out and look deep into the crystal ball, is there someone that Kaz thinks might be able to go out there and run? And maybe start stealing some wins from Joe Gibbs or Penske.
You know, I'm really, really hopeful now that Alex Bowman is finally going to be able to do that. I'm really, really hopeful, and I don't know why that is. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have tarot cards. I'm not clairvoyant. I never have been. But, you know, there is some real legitimate consistency in there. You know, and I think, you don't get three back-to-back second place finishes by accident. I don't really think one, perhaps, at a plate track, sure. But they're actually finally starting to click, I think. And, I think the only, stage racing is, I think, has helped Alex Bowman because it allows him to finish, you know, potentially finish second three times in one night, which is.
Which I think he did that at Talladega. I think he finished second.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really quite an amazing feat, you know. So I have hope for him. And I'm trying to think here into the deep, but, you know, you just look at how Kyle and Martin are running, you know, now, and it's really hard to, not place them into the two spots of the arbitrary media assigned big three, you know, of this year.
Sure.
Yep. And I will say, I'm a little shocked SHR hasn't won yet. That's a little, a little surprising, which is a shame because I think when Clint Bowyer wins, we all win.
Absolutely, we do.
I think everybody wins, man. You know, it's, you know, anybody can win and, you know, get out there and thank their sponsors. But, man, when Clint wins, I mean, you can picture him inviting everybody back to his house for, like, beer pong.
Right.
And blowing up tree stumps in his backyard. Something fun. So
he's a dude that makes up like his own firecracker, like handheld Morning Glory shooter kind of thing.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, the man has a camouflage limo. The man is the camouflage hero we do not deserve, right. But we have, you know, I mean, I will stand the hell out of that guy. I don't care.
Clint Bowyer is the if there was someone that started the hold my beer thing, it would be Clint Bowyer.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
So what very generalized question here. What did you think about the 600?
I enjoyed it. I mean, everybody knows it's a long race. It's going to have ebbs. It's going to have flows. But I was actually basically glued the whole time. And I was really, really happy about that. And, you know, at the end, it was, you know, particularly gripping because I was like, I don't know if Truex can necessarily pull it off with what he's doing. But, of course, he slides low and Logano gets around. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, God, is this, you know, we're going to have a Martinsville redux here. But, because, you know, I was thinking back, boy, you know, the last time they raced for points at Charlotte, he was leading on the last lap, and then something really bad happened. But Jimmy Johnson isn't around to, you know, do that necessarily. So I thought it was really, really cool. But I've been harping on, I've been basically harping about this on Twitter nonstop. I don't think anybody cares about it as much as I do, which gives me hope for the future, actually. But in his post-race comments, I'm not sure if you saw this, but Martin said, you know, like someone asked him, how are you feeling after 600 miles of racing? He said, I have a little headache and I had to go to the bathroom, obviously. I hadn't gone since 5 p.m. So, and, you know, these guys, you know, it's hot out there. These guys have to pre-hydrate.
Right.
He had hydrated with 4 gallons of water, and he claims that he held it for 7 hours.
That's...
which is surreal. Okay, that is... So I'm going to go on record. I'm going to be a Martin Truex Jr. bladder truther here. I think he's lying. I think that's as fake as the moon landing and the earth being round.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you know, he's basically trying to get out ahead of the question. You know, like, no, what? You talk? No, I didn't urinate on myself in 7 hours. What are you talking about? And, No, sir, not me. You know, and he's no spring chicken.
Right.
You know, he's no spring chicken. We know what aging does to people.
Right.
You know, seven times now refers to how many times Jimmy Johnson has to get up in the middle of the night to pee. That's we all know how what age does to the body. And so I'm just gonna call him out right now here on your program and say, Martin, you're lying. And you know, I'll say like, well, where's the fire suit? He's like, oh, it's already been washed. Well, isn't that convenient, Mr. Jersey Boy? So I'm calling him out right now.
Well, I think you just stumbled on your next NASCAR.com gallery there.
It's already been filed. It has already been filed. I promise you. Yeah. So I will get to the bottom of this. I will do my my sleuth work. I will prove that Martin Truex Jr. is lying. And if I have to wield my immeasurable clout in the industry that I have, you know, because like I said, I'm pretty high up. I will tell the powers that be, bring him into the office. You know, tell him to drink 4 gallons of water this morning.
And stick
come into
in
the
sauna.
Office. Yeah, no, I'm gonna sit. Yeah, you sit here in this chair, buddy. Bring a magazine. Bring an iPhone. Whatever. But I'm not letting you out for 7 hours. Let's see you do that again.
I have no doubt you will do your due diligence.
Yes, exactly. The truth is out there.
You just gotta find it. That's all.
Yes, exactly. You call it the Truex Files.
Wow, that's two.
I know.
You're gonna get another one.
Yeah, sorry.
Another one in.
Sorry, dude. I'm not really bringing the grade A beef to your program tonight. Sorry.
Oh, that's hysterical. All right. So, talk about the 600 in terms of, you know, some comments going around about, do we need a 600-mile race? I mentioned a little bit ago, I personally think there are some tracks that need 2 dates, and I personally think we need the 600-mile race. You know, it's not the endurance race from a motor perspective like it once was back in the heyday.
Sure.
But I still think it adds to the sport and to the season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about it. I saw Denny Hamlin making comments, you know, it's just one.
Right.
You know, there's just one race. And like you said, you know, the mechanical aspect, yeah, sure, that doesn't really apply anymore because these, you know, motors in these cars are so, you know, they're built so sturdily and everything. But, you know, I think from a physical perspective, you know, I'm sure there's just complete, you know, fatigue, atrophy, call it what you will, you know, these guys trying to fight through to make it to the end like that there is a certain, you know, degree of challenge in that regard. So yeah, you know, there's one, it's fine, it's you know, it's kind of a staple at this point.
Absolutely.
You know, and like I said, these guys gotta, you know, go through all sorts of physical challenges, such as, you know, holding pee for 7 hours. I'm on to you, Martin, you're lying.
You know, I only wish I could say with confidence he listens to the show, but something tells me he probably doesn't. I don't know.
That's all right. I'm like I said, I'm going to be a Truex truther here. I'm going to show up with signs, you know, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. He lied. He lied to all of us.
Make sure it's the, oh, you should use the Joe Gibbs window sign. You didn't hold
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Hours.
I think I might. Yeah. That might be coming up.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic. Look at all the stuff we've uncovered here in 20 minutes.
I know. Yeah, totally. There's just so we're going straight X-Files, we're going to release the report. None of it will be redacted. The public needs to know.
I love it. That is fantastic. Yep. Kaz, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media and find all of your awesome stuff.
My awesome stuff doesn't exist, but, if you're looking to, follow somebody who you will inevitably mute within 5 minutes, you can follow me on, at NASCAR Chasm, on Twitter. And then I'm also on Instagram at NASCAR Chasm _. And if everyone asks why the underscore, well, I signed up once and then I completely forgot the password. So I had to sign up again.
That's funny. I am slowly trying to make my, like, so I post once a week on Instagram, which I know is like useless. Like, why even bother? I'm slowly starting to incorporate the Instagram to try to gain some of the millennial followers that don't use Twitter and use Instagram. So
just post your dinner every month. I mean, that's all it's for, really. You know, don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Oh, that's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to NASCAR Chasm for coming on the show tonight. This was fun. If you didn't enjoy that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Kaz, we will talk to you soon and probably see you at Chicago.
Okay, that sounds good. I wonder if Martin Truex Jr. is going to hold it until Chicago. What do you think?
I want to be there when you ask him that, please.
Oh, I will. Oh, don't worry. Do you think there's shame in this body? No, there isn't.
Awesome. And hey, let's talk about Pocono double next year too.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Take it easy. We'll see you.
All right, later.
See
Bye.
Lap Traffic Nation. If you didn't, like I said, that's pure gold right there. I mean, Kaz earned 2 rim shots. Like, who gets that? I mean, come on. That was awesome. That was a lot of fun. Always great to catch up with Kaz. All right. I think this one might go a little long, folks. Just telling you that one right now. All right, let's get to some race talk from this past weekend at Charlotte. But first, the trucks. Trucks are off again this weekend. But we'll be back on the track Friday night, June 7th, in Texas Motor Speedway, which is also MIS weekend. So that one's unfortunately going to have to be on the DVR, but fortunately on the DVR because I'll be at MIS. So can't wait to get those guys back out on the track. Highlight the standings here real quick. Brett Enfinger is still in first. Stuart Friesen in second. Brett Moffitt in third. Ben Rhodes fourth. Matt Crafton in fifth. Johnny Sauter sixth. Austin Hill seventh. And Todd Gilliland wrapping out the top 8 in the trucks. And cannot wait to talk some trucks. All right, let's get over to the Xfinity Series at Charlotte. Stage 1 going to Christopher Bell. Stage 2, Tyler Reddick. And race winner was Tyler Reddick. Let's see, kicking this thing off. Custer and Riddick on the front row to start. And, man, lap 1, sliding, side drafting off each other, car sliding up into the wall. So it started off pretty interesting this weekend at Charlotte. You could tell the cars were very loose when this thing started. And that was the trend pretty much throughout the weekend with both the Xfinity and Cup. Early on in the race, cars were very loose. Custer and Bell out front battling each other. With third place, Riddick about 3 seconds back halfway through stage 1 when the first yellow of the day comes out on lap 18. Timmy Hill had a little malfunction there. Restarted with 20 to go. Bell and Custer back out front over Jones, Riddick, and Briscoe. But now this time, Bell was able to pull away from Custer. And with 10 to go, he had a comfortable second and a half lead over Bell, or Bell had over Custer and was able to pick up the stage 1 win. And tough break for Custer. Some issues as he hit some debris on the track at the end of stage 1. Jones and Riddick out front to restart stage 2. Gregson was actually able to get past Riddick midway through stage 2 and was battling Jones for the lead. What was nice, and I think this was the case in both the Cup race as well, for most of the stages, especially early on, first through third, maybe first through fourth, about a half, three quarters of a second apart. And midway through a stage at a mile and a half track, You know, you expect the leader to have a 3 to 4 second lead. And don't get me wrong, we did get that throughout this weekend in both races. But it felt like they were able to keep it a little closer, a little longer throughout both the Xfinity and the Cup race. We go back under yellow on lap 23 of stage two as the 22 of Cindric goes around. Restart with Riddick, who's able to get out to the lead with about 16 to go in stage two over Jones, Bell, and Briscoe. Gregson was able to get a little separation there. Able to hold on for the stage two win was Tyler Riddick. Some issues with Jones and Bell at the end of stage two, which took Bell out of the race, unfortunately. Stage three, it was Briscoe and Riddick out front, and this thing went three wide into turn one and a quick yellow at the start of stage three there as the 86 of Diaz gets loose and into the wall. Riddick out front on the restart and really never looked back. 64 to go. Was able to get out to a 3 second lead over Briscoe and Custer. 60 to go. The 18 brought out the yellow. Another restart with 53 to go. And again, after a couple laps, Riddick was able to pull away from the field as this thing just started closing out in his favor. Yellow after yellow here in stage three, too. Guys just getting loose into the wall. Restart after restart, though, Riddick was able to maintain great restarts and get out to the lead. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, hold a lead at a mile and a half track and just build that lead as you're out in clean air. But, you know, Riddick earned it. You know, restarted, like I said, there were a bunch of restarts there at the end of stage three. So to maintain the track position, to not give it up on the restarts as cautions were breeding cautions, you know, I was really impressed with how Tyler Riddick was able to go out there and get the job done and you know, bring home the checkered flag. Tough break for Custer. Like I said, had issues on pit road at the end of stage one. Was able to battle up to second, and with five to go, had to bring it back down as he got into the wall. And again, Riddick picks up the win. A couple notables, Jeffrey Earnhardt finished third, picking up his best career finish and first top five across all three series, so that's awesome. Rookie Justin Haley picked up his first top five in the Xfinity Series. Both these guys worked on their cars all day as they were really not up in the top 10 until the end of the race. Brennan Jones brought home a top 10, even though there was a little issue there with Bell, you know, so, you know, we'll see. He got a top 10 out of it. Chastain finished 11th, nice rebounding after having to pit early. And Jeremy Clements and Greg Golding both with top 15. So nice job for those guys there. Over to the standings, Tyler Riddick in first, Christopher Bell in second, Cole Custer third, Austin Cindric fourth, Justin Allgaier fifth, Chase Briscoe sixth, John Hunter seventh, Gregson in eighth, Sieg ninth, Michael Annette 10th, Justin Haley 11th, Brennan Jones wraps out the top 12 there. And keep in mind, that is by points alone, those standings there. Tyler Riddick actually would restart or be reseeded third right now. But if things were to stay the way it is, he'd pick up the extra playoff points and probably maintain that first place seating there. Let's move right along and get to the Cup race here. All right, the Big Coke 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Stage one going to Brad Keselowski. Stage two going to Brad Keselowski. The actual stage three going to Martin Truex Jr. And the race winner was Mr. Martin Truex Jr. Maybe he is the new Mr. Charlotte and Coke 600 replacing Jimmy Johnson there. Who knows? Good-sized crowd there. I was really pleased to see that. It was a great weekend. Weather seemed to be pretty good. Granted, it was hot, but it was nice to see a nice full stands there for Memorial Weekend, which is very cool. Almirola, Byron out on the front row. Two guys I was a little surprised to see qualifying on the front row there. Byron showing some speed out of that 24 car, putting it out front, able to hold on the lead for the first through the first caution. Went on lap 24. Jones got into the wall, setting up for a Busch and Harvick battle for about 10 laps or so until Matt D got into the wall for the second caution of the night, which set up again for another Harvick and Busch battle, which was pretty cool. But Keselowski was able to make his way up to the front, passing quite a bit of cars. Stayed out for some track position. The 18 got a little nudge on the 17 there. I know some people were cheering in the stands when that happened there. You could literally see that, which was pretty cool. And sent him through the turf, not the grass. Man, that car just slid right across. Keselowski and Harvick out front with 10 to go in stage one. Yellow back out as Hemric on older tires got into the wall. I am not going to recap every yellow here as I try to do sometimes because this show would be 3 hours long, and it might be just as long as the 600. But the story of the day, definitely cautions, lots of cautions in both races, actually. I think there was, 15 or 16 cautions in the 600, and I want to say 12 or 13 in the Xfinity race there, quite a bit of cautions there. So Keselowski picks up the stage one win, five cautions before the end of the first stage and the second stage break there. But Martin Truex Jr. able to get out front halfway through stage three, and it was pretty much over from there. He picked up the stage three win with about a 4 second gap between him and second place Kyle Busch in stage three. Speaking of the Busch brothers, Kurt Busch had a rare spin in stage four, not something we're used to seeing out of the number one team there. Larson involved in a big wreck, unfortunately not able to carry the momentum from the all-star win. Elliott, though, was out front with about 75 to go, but Truex able to get back to the lead with 56 to go, and that was pretty much all she wrote, picking up his second Coke 600 win, third win on the year, and I believe now his fourth win at Charlotte. So dude's making a name for himself at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Couple notables, the 11 of Hamlin up and down day, led in the wall, rebound, and go around was the story for the 11 team there. And how about Chris Buescher? Sixth place, and he was the second highest Chevy behind Chase Elliott. Picks up his third top 10 of the year. You know, one thing I just want to comment on that is you know, you are used to maybe seeing some of these guys up front at maybe a road course, up front at a plate track, maybe a short track like Bristol. But to see some of these guys going out there in some of these underfunded teams and competing at a mile and a half track, that's the impressive thing there. You know, that I can't get over how cool that is to see Chris Buescher out there picking up his third top 10 of the year and a sixth place at Charlotte. You know, the 600, longest race of the year. You know, car held up. He held up. I think that was really cool. Jimmy Johnson with a top 10. And kind of to echo off Chris Buescher there, granted wasn't a top 10, but a solid day for Corey LaJoie picking up a 12th place finish there. Over to the standings. Kyle Busch in first. Joey Logano second. Chase Elliott third. Harvick fourth. Keselowski fifth. MTJ in sixth. Denny Hamlin seventh. Eighth is Kurt Busch. Ryan Blaney in ninth. Bowman in 10th, Bowyer 11th, Eric Almirola in 12th, Suarez 13th, Johnson 14th, Byron 15th, and Kyle Larson wraps out the top 16. Next race this Sunday, eyes will be on the Tricky Triangle at Pocono, where I am sure the talk of the weekend is going to be not this year, but next year's double Pocono at 2020 with the Saturday-Sunday double cup race there. Very curious to see all the talk that might be going on with that. And before I close out the race talk, if you will, just two things I want to comment on. One of which being, you know, there was some chatter regarding, is the 600 too long? Do we need a 600-mile race? Should it be at a different track? So I just figured, what the hell? I might as well chime in with my thought on that. You know, so here's my thought. You know, in anticipation of, you know, the changes next year and even more changes in 2021. You know, I think there are certain things that should stay in place. There are certain race tracks that should have two separate dates, Daytona, Dega, Martinsville, Bristol, even though I think some people might argue the Bristol one right now based on attendance figures. But I think Bristol should still have two races. You know, Charlotte, obviously, especially now that they have the roll for the playoff. That said, I think one 600-mile race a year is a unique concept. I think they do it on the perfect weekend of the year, the Indy 500, the holiday weekend. I think that's perfect. I don't. If they change the track, I don't think they should change the date of the track. Now, I think the question becomes, could they do it at a different track? You know, and I think it has to be a mile-and-a-half track that you do a 600-mile race. You obviously aren't going to run a 600-mile race at a short track. You're not going to change up Daytona or Dega. So the plate tracks are out. You know, could you maybe do it at a mile track? I think it's possible. I don't know how Dover would work. I think that would tear up the cars a little bit too much there. You know, you're not going to do it at a road course. So I think it narrows it down to your mile and a halfs. And I think you also have to exclude places like Michigan, Fontana, Kansas, Kentucky. I don't think they'd work. I know we complain about the spacing sometimes at Charlotte and how the 600 can be a little bit of a boring race. This year, I do not think it was as boring. I think it was a lot more exciting than what we've had in years past at the 600. Martin Truex Jr. didn't go out and dominate 578 miles like he did the first time he won it. But I think you would see that issue if you tried to run 600 miles at Michigan or Fontana or some of the 2 mile track. So I personally think Charlotte's the track for it. So I personally feel, yes, we should have one 600 mile race, and I like it at Charlotte. So there's my thoughts there. And the other thing I wanted to comment on real quick is, you know, all the talk about Chevys, is Chevy back and all that. All four HMSs in the top 10 at the longest race of the year in a mile and a half. That's got to say something, right? Five Chevys in the top nine, four in a row, sixth through ninth, which finished ahead of seven Fords in a row who finished 10th through 16th. Granted, a Toyota won the race, but Toyota finished first, third, and 17th. It's no secret Chevy as a manufacturer has been off pace. So when you ask the question, is Chevy back? I personally don't think you can't just look at any one specific driver and go, oh, well, Chase won, so Chevy's back. I think you got to look at numbers, averages. Outliers don't, everything average probably isn't the best way to look at it. But I think trends do play a role when you're making a statement of such and such is back, whether it be a player, a team, whether we're talking NASCAR football, what have you. So you had five Chevys in the top 10 this past weekend. You had five Chevys in the top 10 at Kansas. You had four in the top 10 at Dover, and you had six in the top 10 at Dega. So the past four races, which include a mile track, a 2 mile track, a 1.5 mile, and a plate race, I think it's safe to say from a manufacturer perspective that Chevy has found some speed across all the teams, which is fantastic. Now, it's a matter of a specific team and individuals now starting to perform at a consistent basis. So can you say Chevy's back without a bunch of Chevy wins? I think that you can. You've got performances and results last four races in a row heading into the summer months. I think it's just now a matter of fine-tuning. I don't know what the one or two things might be to cross that bridge to now where you're the ones crossing the checkered flag and taking home the checkered flag instead of Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing. But it definitely, without question, Chevy is on the uptick here and should make this a pretty fun summer to watch with racing, because it doesn't look like Penske or Joe Gibbs is going anywhere. So do the Chevy teams start picking up a few victories? And hey, let's not forget Stewart Haas Racing is still winless this year as well. That's my long-winded thoughts there. We'll close out the race talk with that and look forward to talking about Pocono next weekend. All right, let's get to a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just search Lap Traffic. Obviously, you found it if you're listening, but tell your friends. The giveaway, 3,500 followers, the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress, less than 65 to go. Thanks for all the retweets. Keep that up. Congrats to the winners from the MIS Firekeepers Casino giveaway. Got those mailed out, and they've already gotten them, which is awesome. some new follower shout outs on Twitter. That old car guy at Tim_Pendergast loves motorsports from Maine. Ryan at RJKramer09, big fan of the number 10 and the Maize and Blue, go Blue. And SF veteran at Fiola Yadra, a disabled vet from Texas. Thank you for your service. Hope you had a great holiday weekend, everybody. Thanks for the follows. Keep telling your friends. Big shout out to Toby Christie, who puts the show on his website. Go check out him at Toby_Christie and go check out at The Final Lap. New store, or not new store, new on the store soon will be some new t-shirts very soon. I can promise you that. Awesome designs. Cannot wait for that. If you want some stickers and a koozie, all you got to do is visit the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you for free. Don't forget to check out the autism awareness link for Freddy the Pizza Man on the website. And, of course, go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. I've got a promo here for one of the awesome podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network. So here it is.
In 1957, Laika became the first animal to orbit Earth. What kind of animal was Laika?
What is the only team in the Big Four North American sports leagues which shares its name with one of the Avengers?
And here's one more question for you. Are you the type of person who enjoys playing trivia games, learning new things, and having a bit of fun along the way?
If you are, or if you just want to find out the answers to those other questions, then our podcast, Quiz and Hers, might be right up your alley.
Each week, one of us writes new trivia questions for the other person, covering everything from science to history to pop culture to sports.
And every question in a game relates to some theme, like Game of Thrones,
internet memes,
sandwiches,
or animals in space.
Some of the themes make more sense than others.
So if you like trivia, learning, or real couples testing each other's knowledge and patience, check out our podcast, Quiz and Hers, part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network.
Quiz and Hers, the trivia podcast where we test each other's knowledge and the strength of our relationship.
All right, go check out the Quiz and Hers podcast, one of the many awesome podcasts on the Big Heads Media Network, along with the Lab Traffic podcast. Awesome way for the show to get some exposure and be part of an awesome podcast network. It's very cool. All right. Business is done. All right. So let's keep rolling here. So if you missed last week, Aaron, unfortunately, will not be able to do his weather report on the show. But fear not, Aaron will be back on the show to talk NASCAR, the B1G, and of course, Go Blue Michigan Sports. That said, here is the very first pre-recorded weather segment for Pocono this weekend by Lap Traffic alum, Mr. Brian Newdorf.
Hey, Lap Traffic Nation. This is meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you on Twitter as @NASCAR_WXMAN, the NASCAR weatherman. And first and foremost, for my good friend Aaron Stedwell, who you're familiar giving you the weekly weather here on Lap Traffic Podcast. He made his announcement last week that he had to take a hiatus from NASCAR weather, circumstances beyond his control. So I don't like to think of myself replacing my friend, but more or less just keeping the seat warm until he is able to come back and deliver weather for you here on Lap Traffic. But I know you'll be hearing his voice throughout the season. It may not be about weather, but you'll definitely be hearing from Aaron. That's absolutely for sure. And of course, it was a big weekend of racing, and I was allowed to give my thoughts on the racing. First of all, Indianapolis 500, number one, I'm glad it got through. I know the forecast did not look good. Hey, listen, this guy had a 60% chance, or 60% odds of racing, my little coin term there, odds of racing. So I feel pretty good. I did think there was a good chance, and there were rain showers nearby, but dry air won the day, and you know what? I'm not going to complain. What some racing there was at the Indianapolis 500. Many, many times, even at the start of the race, I'm holding my breath. The drama with Rossi was spectacular. You couldn't ask for a better race and a better end and everything else like that. I'm grown up. For me, what got me into racing was the Indianapolis 500. For me, that's where I grew up in Indiana, and my grandfather was Tony Hallman's personal pilot. So I've had a connection with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for a long time, from my mother babysitting Tony George, who gave the command. So there's a connection in my family. So the Indianapolis 500 will always have a special place, and maybe that makes me a little bit biased to the greatest spectacle in racing. But then we changed our direction to the Coke 600, which had some great moments. I was in and out watching it by that evening for me. I had to run around and take kids to work and errands, but watched it. The last stage was exciting. I will say that. And there were some moments, but I don't know if it lived up to what the Indianapolis 500 has produced over the last couple of years. That's my take. Again, very cool to see Martin Truex again. I know some people are just, as my son saw the top five as we were in the closing laps of the Coke 600, it was kind of like, and he hasn't been watching that much, but he said, you know what, it's the usual suspects. I don't know. Do we want change? Do we want parity in NASCAR? That's a great question, and I'd love for you guys to think about that. But let's turn our attention to the weather. And again, it is sunny Pocono, right? It never rains at Pocono. In fact, that's probably where the birthplace of NASCAR weatherman. I think it was a Pocono race where I first went on Twitter to opine my opinions about weather and coverage and not showing radar with rain approaching. So let's take a look at what we have gearing up for the Pocono weekend. Friday and Saturday both look fairly good. There's a rain chance Friday morning. Temperatures a little cooler. They're going to be in the upper 60s. But then as we go into Saturday for the Xfinity race, well, we're doing pretty well. Mostly sunny skies and a high temperature Chamber of Commerce weather with a temperature right around 72 degrees. But it wouldn't be Pocono without a chance of rain. Now, would it? No. So we're looking ahead to Sunday. Now, again, keep in mind, this is early in the week as we record this. And we do have a chance of rain Sunday. I think scattered showers and thunderstorms. We will have to watch that. But for right now, odds of racing for Saturday for the Xfinity race is 100%. I don't see that changing. We'll keep an eye on Sunday for the Monster Energy race, and that is looking like I'm going to give the odds of racing somewhere between 70 and 80%. Of course, scattered showers and thunderstorms, hit or miss, those can cause some issues. Well, I just want to say, hopefully, whatever it is, keep it. Follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, at NASCAR_WXMAN or NASCAR_WXMAN on Facebook. I'll keep you updated. I'm even on Instagram. I need to do better at that, but you can find our images there as well. I'm still doing Twitter, and we just thank you so much for allowing me to be here. But weather-wise, we will keep you updated as we get closer to the race. Thank you guys so much. I look forward to being a part of this each and every week. You have a great week heading into the big Pocono race weekend.
Wow. So I'm going to be 100% breaking fourth wall. That was the first time I listened to that as I played it into the show. Brian, could not have asked for a more flawless transition there. Great tribute to Aaron there at the start. Love the race talk and just fantastic. That's awesome. I love that. Aaron, obviously going to be missed with the weather segments. Aaron is not gone. Like Brian said, just a little hiatus for the time being, but we'll be on to talk racing. And some other sports as him and I like to do. So that was awesome. Can't wait to get Brian's weather next week. Brian, you got to deliver big for me because the weather next week's going to be for MIS, which I will be at. So you got to come strong for MIS race weekend next weekend. All right. It is time for some lucky dogs and lockdown picks. You guys know what to do. You can tweet your picks at the end of the race. Send me your lucky dog. Or you can call the Waiting Round hotline, 248-965-9538. And, oh, there's a plethora of voicemails this week, which is awesome. I can't wait to tell you in a bit. I'm going to hit you with my picks real quick. I tweeted it out early, which I don't know if I've ever done that. My lucky dog pick for race weekend, Chris Buescher. You got it done at a mile and a half. Congrats. That is so cool. And my lap down pick, pit road mistakes during the Indy 500. This is your big dance. You guys can't be doing that. So that is my lap down. Over to your tweeted responses. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, a lucky dog, Cole Pern. He's the new Chad Knaus when it comes to Charlotte. Lap down the field. Truex is finding his groove. Ginny at G Patton69, lucky dog, Corey LaJoy. Lap down Ryan Blaney. Does good most of the race. Can't get the finish he deserves. Ginny, I think you're a first-timer for the lucky dog picks. Thanks for sending one in there. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. hit the wall. Still wins the race. Lap down Hamlin, Jones, Matt D. Hell, pretty much any Toyota. Mike at Odell underscore Michael lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. with a great late race restart. Definitely earned his third win of the season after hitting the wall.
a lap down. Jones destroyed from fantasy teams with his early crash after having the best average finish on mile-and-a-half tracks. He finished down. Lisa at LL Chananas, a lucky dog, PETM and company for surviving all the shots they did. Lap down Blaney and the JGR tires. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog goes to Corey LaJoy. What a fantastic run. It's nice to see some of the underfunded teams running up front. Lap down, Kyle Larson was looking really sporty, but his luck ran out. Must have forgotten his rabbit's foot. Jared at JTM0086. Lucky dog. Jimmy Johnson, lap down, Kyle Larson. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky, or Fast Eddie, his lucky dog is Martin Truex with the impressive comeback from a possible race ender hitting the wall to dominate the second half of the 600 en route to winning it. Lap down, Joe Gibbs Racing's Xfinity and Cup Team's front tire issues. And John at Deanator's lucky dog, 40-plus lead changes, double the lead changes of last year, lap down, underinflated tires, too low, and it'll lead to flat tires, and then you're in the wall. All right, those are the tweeted responses. Let's get to the wave-around hotline call.
Hey, Brandon, it's Max. It's been a while since I called in, but I wanted to call in regarding the greatest weekend in motorsports, Memorial Day weekend. And we had the Monaco, we had the Indy 500, we had the World 600. Great day to watch motorsports. And I thought all races were fantastic. So I want to get down to my lucky dog. Okay, I'm going to do my lap. Yeah. I'm going to do my lap down pick first. Maybe Kyle Larson. I mean, we thought he was going to be is picking up the speed here in the last few weeks, but man, bad luck struck again. And my lucky dog, it has to go to all the winners of the greatest weekend in motorsports. Lewis Hamilton, Simon, Pagano, and Martin Truex Jr. Just all great races, all three series. And yeah, thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Hey, Max, thanks so much for calling in. Yeah, it's been a minute since you called. Feel free to call back whenever you like. And I got to agree with you on your lap down there. Larson definitely, unfortunately, was not able to keep the momentum going from the All-Star race. You know, see what he can do this weekend at Pocono. But he is going in 2 weeks to MIS, where he did win. Is it four in a row there, I believe? So maybe he can get things going here in the Motor City. We shall see. Thanks for the call. Let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Brandon, it's T. Wayne Wooderson, the D-Rail Sweetwater III.
Hey-o!
We just went to the Indy 500. We watched the Coke 600 and had some cookouts. Good little time. We're about to leave some Lucky Dog lap down. I think old D-Rail is going to lead off with the lap down.
Denny Hamlin.
Lucky dog, we're going to go Simon Pagano and who won the race again? Martin Truex Jr. because they won the race of the day and looked badass. But we're going to get off here because it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we got to be up early to take old D-Rail back to the airport tomorrow. But we'll catch you later.
Oh, wow. Gotta love the 2 a.m. Wave Around Hotline call from good old B. Wayne and Mr. Andrew Sherwin from the PETM podcast, who were at the Indy 500. Oh, it looks like those guys had a great time, which is awesome. Can't wait to check out their show later on. So make sure you dial in the PETM podcast later to hear all about that. Let's get to the next call on the hotline.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Yet again, we saw some great racing this weekend. At least I thought it was great. Both races had people having troubles early, and they were still able to come back and be at the mix in the end. Even though they had pancaked right sides, it was just pretty fun to watch that happen. And I really loved the moment of silence midway into the cup race. I saw that some people who were there comment about how quiet it really did get, and that's pretty cool. I thought it was a great show of respect for Memorial Day. My lucky dog this week is going to go to the great finishes by guys that you don't usually see. Xfinity had Jeffrey Earnhardt finishing P3. Jeb Burton finished P7. Ryan Sieg was up in P8. The Cup race had Stenhouse and Buescher, again, with very good finishes. Stenhouse had P5 and Buescher was P6. And we have seen some decent finishes out of them this year. But, you know, just to tack up another one is pretty cool for them. And we also had Corey LaJoy, P12, and David Ragan, P15. So that was something. It's very cool to see that. And honestly, I don't really have a lap down this week. I was thinking, and I really can't think of one. The only thing maybe is any talk of shortening the 600. It's a crown jewel race, and I think it should be left alone. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I do want to mention Jordan Anderson, who got the opportunity to drive a late model up at Alaska Raceway Park over the weekend. It was Saturday night. So that was very cool. Some of the photos he had were just absolutely gorgeous. And he actually got the pole, and he got the win as well. So it was very cool, and I'm so happy for him. It would be nice if he ran the Snowball Derby, but I don't know about that. But anywho, that's all I have for this week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Kathleen, thanks for calling in again. And, yeah, that was really cool with Jordan Anderson. I saw some of those tweets coming out this weekend. It was nice, you know, he was able to go out there and do that. You know, his fans on social media able to see a different part, different track that probably doesn't get a lot of social media attention there. So that was really cool. All right, we got a couple more here for you guys. Let's get rolling with the next one.
Hi, it's Danny. I thought overall, great race. My lucky dog definitely goes to Charlotte Motor Speedway. Back-to-back weeks of good racing, even some four wide both times. My lap down goes to Fox's coverage, in particular their, well, lack of coverage over the Rick Ware racing cars. All three of them were definitely the coolest paint schemes inspired by some of the old Warbirds, and the only one that got shown was Bailey Curry's when he wrecked. I mean, that was a potential big opportunity for Rick Ware to get some screen time and maybe get some new sponsors because of it. But Fox didn't show it even when they had the perfect segue when they were talking about Rick Ware's when Bailey Curry wrecked. Anyhow, great race. Looking forward to Pocono. Talk to you later.
Hey, Danny, thanks for calling in. I believe Danny is a first-time caller to the Wave Around Hotline, so thank you very much for calling in. Keep in touch. Make sure you interact on Twitter there as well. And I got to agree with you on Charlotte there. They definitely did a great job this past last 2 weeks. And, you know, Fox, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, they, you know, I know they take a lot of heat, you know, and I don't, maybe they're working on stuff to change. I don't know. I'd like to hope so. But, you know, yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. All right. One last one here on, I think, a record-breaking waiver on hotline with five calls, which is just awesome. I love it. Mr. Andrew Kansian.
What's up, Brandon? Just wrapped up the greatest day in racing, and, man, we saw some good stuff. Even the F1 race was somewhat entertaining. That's a low bar we're setting for that race, but, you know, it's still the worst race of the day, but it wasn't awful. Indy 500 was an awesome, awesome race. Congrats to Simon Pagenaud. That was pretty cool to see him. He swept the whole month of May. That was good to see. And hell, Coke 600 was awesome. That was probably one of the best Coke 600s that I've seen in a really long time. Maybe one of the best ones I've seen in my my short lifetime here. So we saw a lot of crashes, which crashes are exciting, man. The end of the show. You bunch the field up, and that's the way it is. You know, it's good to see that.
which is something we really haven't seen this year. Not too many restarts, but we had, what, like 16 cautions, which is pretty crazy. But still a great race nonetheless. Martin Truex, man, what can you say about that team really coming back? When he hit the wall, I looked at it and I said, man, it looks like he hit it pretty square. He might just be all right there. And he was more than all right. And he made a really ballsy, that four-wide pass on the backstretch. That move right there is easily going to be my lucky dog of the race. That was batshit crazy, but awesome. I don't really know who to put a lap down. I'm going to put the rest of the JGR cars a lap down. They ran like total dog shit. Denny Hamlin crashed to end it, so that was hilarious. A lot, there's so many Denny Hamlin fans out there in the NASCAR universe, so whatever. The next lap down lucky dog, it could go either way. If you take me out of my spot, my last spot for Brett and Sherwood, you know, F those guys, I don't care that they just were in India, it's my spot. So if you give me my spot, you'll be the lucky dog, but if you take it away, you'll be the lap down. That one's fluid. We'll see what happens when the show comes out. All right, buddy, take care.
Oh, Andrew, I love it. And I wasn't going to take that spot away. I saw you tweet that out, but no, you got the spot. And that's funny because I play these and record them as the show's going on. And so that was very funny. I was laughing. I had to turn the mic back on when I was going to chime in here, but I was laughing throughout that last part there. That's awesome. Rest of Joe Gibbs really struggled. Toyota as a whole really struggled outside of picking up the race win, which it's kind of hard to say a manufacturer struggled when they won. But overall, not the best day for them at Charlotte. Thank you to everyone that called this week on the Wave Around Hotline. Thanks for the tweets. Like I said, I say it almost every week. It's one of my favorite segments. So that's going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. And right now, it is time to kick off a very special fantasy segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's time for the fantasy segment. Going to switch things up a little bit this week for the fantasy segment. Get the guests on for the whole thing. Who better to kick off segment two than two guys who have not seen the top of the leaderboard due to all of your great picks, making their fourth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Welcome back, David and Andrew from the MOATF Podcast. What's up, guys?
You got it wrong. You got it very wrong. It should have been segment one winners.
Well,
just winning, winners.
I think fourth of the losers, isn't it, is what we were.
Yeah. There's a couple people that might have something to say. Let's see here. Segment one, you guys finished in fifth. Ted Anderson finished 5 points ahead of you. My uncle finished 12 points ahead of you. Rob Keplinger finished 33 points ahead of you. And segment one winner, Greg Whited, finished 86 points ahead of you guys. So it was a successful hashtag beat MOATF.
So well, five people paid you off.
Five people paid Mick off.
Surely, except in the terms and conditions, if you're a relative of the show, you can't take part.
Exactly.
You know, so he was in it last year. No one noticed. No one noticed two crowds on the sheet there.
So what you're saying is he's not your uncle. You've just got a second line of picks.
No, I really
do. He's your ghost account.
Because he led for a couple weeks. He called into the show and made his picks a couple weeks ago.
If I was you, I'd get him to make your picks for you.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, because I don't even know where I literally didn't even look. I just know it wasn't last. I think I had people finish ahead of me that even stopped making picks.
Wow.
It was. Wow. I literally felt bad. Like, it didn't matter who I took. I was jinxing them. So I started feeling guilty for the picks I took. I'm like, well, all right, John Hunter's not going to have a great week this weekend. And sure enough, you know, I pick Ryan, you know, no matter who I took, segment one, not going to happen. So hopefully I can switch that around a little bit. But let's sidetrack here a minute before we get into everything. Guys, For everyone out there that does not follow MOATF, you guys announced a couple weeks ago, show's on hold for a little bit, and I just want to tell you guys how much I miss listening to you guys, the banter back and forth, the random stories, and I think what really enhances the podcast listening of your show for people here in America is obviously, it sounds completely normal to you guys and people across the pond, but obviously the vernacular, verbiage, how you use it, a little bit different. That just adds to the enjoyment from the American side of things, I think. You guys are severely missed, and can't wait till you guys are back running back up again.
Soon. Hashtag soon.
Well, it's very nice of you to say so, but you did just say if you guys don't follow MATF, and they're not going to care if we're recording or not anyway. So.
Well, no, I think people do. I saw a lot of great response you guys and all that, which is
very nice. Awesome. People are sending very good stuff. Yeah.
You guys have an open invite anytime you want to come on the show. If you guys want to come on and do a full show or whatever, you know, or if you guys could actually score first place, you know, you guys can call in every week. So
we were first place. We were first place. I don't know who the other people are. I haven't seen them authenticated. I haven't seen their faces.
They're not verified.
They ain't got no blue ticks on Twitter. I don't know these people. So technically, we won. That's how it works.
I'll have to come up with another creative name for a trophy for that one.
We should get a trophy for the amount of bashing we get. I don't know where it's come from, but
that,
we are.
I tell
we
you, that
hammered.
Has been fun, and that's one of the things I miss about the with you guys on a little hiatus here is the ability to communicate from show to show and just to wait a week to see the response. that always added. I enjoyed that.
Definitely.
I thought that was a lot of fun.
I definitely enjoyed that.
David, have you noticed? He's such a pro. He even wears a Lap Traffic T-shirt on the radio where nobody can see him.
Look, that's right. Fourth wall break in there. Yes, I do have a Lap Traffic T-shirt on. And speaking of which, there might be some new T-shirt. Thank you for the segue. There might be some new Lap Traffic T-shirts available very, very soon, which I'm very excited about.
Merch drop. What a smooth transition.
You lob them up, I'll knock them out. All right, real quick here, let's recap the very last race here for Charlotte with the fantasy picks. Let's see. First off, segment two, which starts this weekend with Pocono, is going to be 15 races. It's going to go from Pocono to Indy. So if you guys have stopped making your picks, segment two, scores are back to zero. So, you know, feel free to jump back in. We had 11 players pick Tyler Riddick in the Xfinity Series, and only three, which I was very surprised, picked Martin Truex Jr., Mr. Aaron Studwell, David Mullins, and Tommy Witt. Week highs were 117 points by Eric McCollum, Greg Whited, and Lisa Chinana. Oh, and Paul Hallenbeck. With their picks of Kyle Busch and Tyler Riddick. And second place was 110 by David Mullins with his winning picks of Martin Truex and Tyler Riddick. So nice job there, guys. All right, it is time to read off the final top 10 standings for segment one with 1,358 points. Your segment one winner, Mr. Greg Whited. Congratulations there, sir. In second with 1305 is Robert Keplinger. In third with 1284, Matt Crowd. In fourth with 1277, Ted Anderson. And in fifth, some guys across the pond with 1,272. The MOATF podcast, who finished ahead of quite a few people. It was a nice, it was a valiant
Everybody
effort, guys. Valiant
destroyed
effort.
It. It was
a bad effort. Considering we just literally picked most of these, just there's no thought goes into it whatsoever.
We'll
obliterated the league.
In sixth with 1269 is Jess Rose. In seventh with 1263 is Brad Carnes. In eighth with 1251 is John Entwistle. In ninth with 1248 is Mick Rose. And wrapping out the top 10, segment one, David Mullins with 1231. So starting next week on the website, you're going to see three images. You'll see the picks, you'll see the segment two standings, and then you'll see the cumulative total. So that's how that'll work for the rest of the year. All things aside, guys, what'd you think of the racing this past weekend? Monaco, which I didn't see a single lap of, I'm not even going to lie about that. The Indy 500 I thought was fantastic, and the Coke 600. What'd you guys think?
Well, I'll start. For me, the Monaco is Monaco. It's never an epic race, but obviously it's an epic event. And Hamilton with his tyre problems and everything else, apart from the fact he's a bit of a crybaby. Indy 500 was epic. Absolutely epic. Best Indy 500 I've seen for quite some time. And I really enjoyed the Coke 600, actually. I often find the Coke 600 too long, if I'm being honest, but I actually really enjoyed it this year.
I just talked about that a little bit ago, how I thought this felt like a very different Coke 600 from the last couple that we've seen.
Mini plate race. That's what it is.
It wasn't as well. I mean, if you look at the number of cautions, I mean, I don't think we had 15 cautions at Daytona or Talladega. So I could see that.
The Indy 500 was just phenomenal for me. It was. Apart from the bloke who kept on calling them Simon Pagenaud. His name's Simon. It's Simon.
It's French. It's Simon.
It's not two words. It's not hyphenated, is it? It's not Simon. People don't call you Andrew, do they? They call you Andrew.
This is the kind of stuff we miss.
People don't call Brandon. They don't go, hi, Bran, on, do they? No, they don't. It's just ridiculous. It's just stupid. The Indy 500 was good. Monaco was all right. And the Coke 600 was interesting because of all the cautions. So, yeah, good weekend all around.
Fantastic. All right, so before we get into the picks, I just have to ask, are your picks ready? Are these the actual picks? Is Mick going to get something different in the email? I'm just curious. It's funny.
There is no going to be no email. This is, if we're telling you, surely that's got to be sufficient, isn't it?
No, yeah. You still got to email Mick.
So you're making me do double the work for only one of the reward. So, what is this?
I've been saving this story. So a couple of weeks ago when Mick was at Kansas, I had to keep track of all the picks. And so I get one email from, I'm not sure who actually sent the email with one set of picks. And then I get a DM in Twitter with a completely different set of picks. So I'm like, all right. I see the game plan here.
It's just diversion. It's split and divide, Brandon. Yeah. Split and divide.
Unfortunately,
do you get phone calls off drivers, Brandon, with them just saying, please don't pick me. I wish to do well at the weekends.
I'm waiting for that to get out. I doubt word will get out, but that would be hysterical.
I can't wait for Christopher Bell to ring in and be like, Brandon, stop picking me. Stop it.
I've stopped. Like, it just seems like no matter when I pick, I almost got to, let the dog pick something. Like, here's everyone's name and a hat. Who do you take? And I probably would have better luck from that regard. Or I just pick the same two or same three every week for the entire segment and see what happens.
Well, that's what Kathleen does, and she gets away with it every week. So,
well, we actually found a flaw because it's hard to make up points because you're allowed to pick whoever you want whenever you want.
Yes. So I'm not going to lie. I've noticed.
Rose seems to go into a lot of races these days, so he's obviously got time in his hands. If he can go to the racetrack, he's got more time to administer the contest, doesn't he?
I'm trying to think next year. I love picking all three series. I think people do enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
But being able to have a free-for-all is an issue. I'm just trying to think of a way to track the number of picks so that it does not add extra work to myself and or Mitch.
Oh, just let me do it. I'll sort it out.
To do it a third time.
Don't worry about it. I'll sort it out.
You got it. We won't win. So that is definitely a change I'm looking to make next year, whether you're capped as to how many times throughout the year, or it might be real interesting. You can only take one driver use one driver one time for the segment. Something like that, I think, would definitely add to the scheming and the thought process behind it versus just going, oh, it's a mile and a half. Give me Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr. No, you got to pick what specific mile and a half track you want to use him for one time in each segment. I think that would definitely add to strategy and would make things a lot more interesting. So
agreed.
We'll see. All right. Are you guys ready to make some picks for this weekend?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
I haven't got to pick an ARCA driver, have we?
All right. Let's get into it. We are headed to the Tricky Triangle in the Poconos, where Turn 1 designed after Trenton Speedway in New Jersey. Turn 2 was designed after the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And Turn 3 after the Milwaukee Mile, giving us the Tricky Triangle. Guess who won this race last year? Oh, that would be our recent winner from the Coke 600, Mark Swift Jr., who has two wins at the Kyle Busch picked up the ball win and a top three in the sprint race last year. Kevin Harvick is still winning. Well, will the rain hold off, and who kicks off second to the Blacktown Fantasy on top? We will find out this week. First, let's get to our picks. Over to the Pebble ATF Podcast. Guys, who are you taking for this game?
Did we discuss it? Was it Tyler Reddick?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yes, Tyler Reddick.
I am going with the 20 of Chris.
Well, Christabel, if you're listening to this, just don't turn up, mate. Just put your suit in the wash. Have an off week. Do your hair. Do anything but turn up, because you will crash. Don't worry about it.
I love it. Over to the cup race, guys. Who are you taking?
Blaney.
Blaney. I like that show a lot. I really do. I am going with the 9.
Wow.
He'll go and play golf with the bell, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. All right, guys. Big thanks to the MOATF podcast. Guys, where can everyone still follow the Twitter at?
I'll get it out in a minute. He does the MOATF podcast Twitter. I'm at FateRace28.
Guys, thank you so much for calling in. This was fun, and who knows? Maybe if left traffic nation and the fantasy players are generous, they'll let you stay in the lead, get in the lead after this one. Maybe we'll talk to you again next week.
Excellent work.
All we do is win. Guys.
All we do is win. I like how he snuck that one in there. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed a very special fantasy segment there with the MOATF podcast. Love those guys. Can't wait for them to get behind the mic sooner rather than later. And who knows? Maybe we will get them back on if they're in first place next week. But I doubt that very much. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, this one was a ton of fun. Episode 128 is in the books. You had to have laughed. You had to have had a good time listening to this one. Make sure you check out the website, thelattrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lat Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lat Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity Link on the website. Don't forget about the giveaway, less than 65 to go. Huge thanks to NASCAR cast of Brian Newdorf and the MOATF Podcast for all calling in. Thursday, bonus show, more than likely. This Thursday bonus show. Next week, Jeff Striegel from MRN Radio. And that is the MIS bonus show. I cannot wait. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!